Now let's continue our laws of confessions today. We'll start by reading from, there are a number of ones I want to look at today. Which one did you read last time that we did not complete? Okay, let's read this one, Ephesians chapter 6. We'll go back to Jeremiah chapter 6. Let's just quickly read Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians chapter 6. It says in verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." He talked about the full armor of God. And I said in verse 12, "For we struggle, but our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, against wicked forces of this darkness." So against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. "Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm." They talked about the different portions of that full armor of God. Talked about the feet shod, loins girded with truth. And then feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of truth, of peace, verse 15. The shield of faith in verse 16. And then in verse 17, it talked about the helmet of righteousness, of salvation. And last of all, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Please, that's where I read this. We're talking about the laws of confessions. He said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So I want to just talk about that again briefly. You know, we're talking about the laws, all right, of confessions. And I want to just start giving some names to them. So what I can say is that, first of all, we talked about the law of faith and salvation. Yeah, let me put it like that. There is a law, or let's put it the other way, the law of the release of salvation. Because we said, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the heart, confession is made unto salvation. And what's the law there? This is a principle. When we talk about the law, now we're talking about the principles. Is that okay? Now, this is a principle there, that for faith to have effect, it must fill up the heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth, confession is made as a manifestation of the righteousness in outward form, which is what is called salvation. Therefore, the confession there is a sign of the fullness of the heart, because whatever fills the heart is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Very important. So let's not forget that. So we've looked at that. So we call it the law of the release of salvation, or the law of faith and salvation. And I said that it takes an effort for somebody who really believes to withhold his mouth from speaking what he believes. And that effort is something you must never put into it. And what do I mean by effort? So sometimes you're in a particular situation and you don't want to offend somebody. So you discipline yourself not to say which is true. I said, don't worry about that kind of discipline. You can be nice in the way you express it, but you must say that which you are supposed to say. Now the next one we began to talk about, when I talked about how to overcome by the blood, and that's what I'm still talking about when we read this one. Let's just read it, and then we'll continue. We've read it. It said that, this is the full armor of God, and part of it is what they call the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, there are a number of ways you can look at that, and I don't even know which one is more accurate than the other, but the one that's always stronger in my heart, all right, is what I want to talk about. That is how you can look at that expression, the sword of the Spirit. Now, some say that is the sword that the Spirit wields. That is the Holy Spirit. I don't think so. Why I don't think so is because he said, you take on the full armor of God. You understand my point? It is a sword that you are supposed to carry. That is, there are different kinds of swords, and we are dealing with different realms. There's a physical realm, and he has his own sword, which is a physical sword made of steel, you understand, which is double-edged in some cases, and there were different types. So he's saying in the realm of the Spirit, the sword that you carry in the realm of the Spirit is the word of God. Are you getting my point? So now the second one, therefore, can be called the law of spiritual weaponry. You understand what I'm saying? Is the law of what? I can't hear you. The law of what? Yes, the law of spiritual weaponry. So this is how it is. Don't forget, I said this all the time, life is a battle. And the most important, or let me say, life is a war field. And the most important battle we have to fight all the time is what? The battle of words. It's a battle of words. And when we talk about the battle of words, what it means is that words are being issued forth towards us, and we must also fight back by using words. I said something on Saturday. Was that there? I said you're talking about a blessed man. Yes, you must. I'm talking about the death of Moses. Yes, I talked about the fact that the blessed man succeeds by the grace of God. And that when God spoke to Adam, he said the earth will no longer yield its increase for you. I was talking about thorns and thistles it will yield for you. From the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. Now, this is the point I was making then, that a man of dominion, which was what he lost, he used to have dominion, he uses more words than outside energy. Are you getting my point? That most of the time he's fighting, he's alone with himself. He's not there, you know, maybe digging the earth, tilling the earth. Most of the time he's really, really doing things that will bring him increase in life. He's alone. Nobody's there. You understand? But he's waging war, all right, with words. He's controlling events with words. So when Adam lost dominion, he said, you will no longer be able to use that. You now have to use your hand. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, he could no longer direct things to bless him. He couldn't direct things to release the forces of earth to release blessing to him anymore. So he had to be struggling physically and outwardly. The truth is that the real battle that we fight, the real place where we win our victory, is in the words that we speak. And what Satan tries to do, you know, I refer to this so often, Job. Job's fight was, let us hear what he would say. Can you remember that? So the blessing, all right? The blessedness that Job experienced was a consequence of what he said or did not say. That's very important. And in life, we must watch it. When we are talking in life, those words have, they have effect. They are not idle, you understand? Bible says that even what you thought were idle, you have to give account of those idle words. So I say to people, even when you want to crack jokes, the best to know is serious discipline. Crack jokes that even if they were taken literally, is still a blessing. Are you getting my point? One example I'd like to give, I read then, talking about Catherine Kuhlman. She was preaching, and she said she used to say things that are very funny. And she would say something like, somebody, you know, a lot of us who are Nigerians don't really understand the background, but it's a Baptist, and those Baptists are very conservative, you understand my point? So she's ministering, and so somebody's there, and I say, oh, this fellow is a Baptist. Say, oh, he's a Baptist. Oh, if God can heal a Baptist, he can heal anybody, and the whole place will laugh. Think about it. It's very funny, right? But is it not true? It is true that God can heal anybody. You are getting what I'm trying to explain. So even what we thought were idle words, you have to give account of them. In fact, you know, there's one scripture, it's in the book of Proverbs, I don't remember it, the particular reference right now, but let's not waste time looking for it. But you know what they call April Fool? You know what they call April Fool? Yes, a game we used to play when we were children, you understand? I stopped playing when I was in university. Why? Because once I read in the scriptures, it said, like a fool that's throwing firebrands and arrows is a man who deceives his neighbors and say, was I not joking? That is, the Bible says, like a fool throwing firebrands and arrows. He says, so is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? I say, yeah. Since then, till now, I don't do April Fool. You know, all kinds of things, April Fool. But no, after I read the scriptures, you know, he said, no, you can crack jokes, but try and take it in a positive manner so that when you say things, all right, even if they were taken literally, they will still be a blessing to somebody, all right? So what I'm saying is that life is a battle of words. So when you're talking in life, that's even when you're talking about jokes. Now, let's not go beyond when you think you're joking. When you're talking with people, everything you are saying in life is counting. What did I say? It's counting. It's counting. When you analyze the situation with your friend, it is counting. Everything that you say is counting. All right? And that's what we're talking about, the law of what? Spiritual weaponry. That is the things you are saying. You know, there's this thing I like to say, to illustrate it all the time. When I say it, it's funny, but it's just very, very true. There are some people who say, I said it. And Satan says, yes, we know you said it. But you think that it's validating the authenticity of your information. But no, Satan is saying, I needed those words, you understand, to make it happen in your life. I need this thing will never work. I said it that time that this thing we're trying to do, it will never work. You know, there are times people say that and they are right because they have wisdom from above. But if a man who's trying to do something is saying, I know it will never work, why is he doing it? Do you understand my point? And as I didn't, I knew it wouldn't work. And you did it. The fact is that you're saying it wouldn't work, despite the fact that you wanted it to work and you were putting in the energy to make sure it works, is a sign that you contributed weapons into the armory of the devil and he used it against you. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Very important we get that point clear. So that's what I call the law of spiritual weaponry, all right? And part of it, we talk about they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his, of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. I said, how did they overcome by the blood of the Lamb? It's because the blood speaks, and anybody who speaks the things that are in agreement with the blood, it's not the person who shouts the blood, which is what Christians love to do. Everything, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus in itself. In fact, I said it before, we don't fire that weapon. We don't. It's applied on our hearts. You understand? But when we are in covenant with God, every covenant has the terms of the covenant. And those things that are the terms of the covenant are the things that we utter and we are overcoming by the blood. That's what I call the law of spiritual weaponry. All right? Please, I hope we are clear on that. Don't forget that the words we speak, they are the swords of the Spirit. You know, I don't know where I wrote this, that this is my own way of further illustrating it. That angels, all right? Angels have been deployed on our behalf. You know, I was reading something. I was reading Derek Prince's biography today. Well, I'm still reading it. But a bit of it, one woman he met once, talking about, the first people that really brought the reality of the gospel to him, that this Christianity is not a joke. So the woman said she prayed for her husband. He had tuberculosis for 10 years. One day the Spirit said to her, claim it. And then she claimed it immediately. In fact, he was expecting her to say that nothing happened. What he expected is that nothing would have happened. Now, this is Christianity. There's nothing to it more than organized religion by which some people earn a living. You understand what I'm saying? But so, when the woman was saying, I prayed for my husband for 10 years, he was like, how can't you pray for somebody? She said, every day. He said, which kind of person prays every day for 10 years? So he was expecting her to just say, well, that's the end of the gist. And I said that one particular day, the Spirit said to her, you understand? Claim it. And then she stood up and said in the name of Jesus, I claim it. And that very day, the man was healed. Stuff like that. The man was like, what? Are you serious about that? Something like that really happened. But this is where I'm going to. My own side of it is that 10 years. Now, was the healing power available at the beginning? The answer is what? Yes. That is, it happens, all right, that we have to get to a point. Like I was saying earlier, and I won't talk about angels specifically now. Sometimes something is available to us, but we have not done what is proper to activate the thing on our own behalf. Let's talk about this angel thing again. We're talking about weapons of spiritual warfare. This is how I like to explain it. The law of spiritual weaponry. That the angels on our side, one job we must do is to make sure that they are fully supplied with weapons. I don't know what I said. I hope you hear what I said. That it's our duty to make sure they are what? Fully supplied with weapons. I believe, I've gotten some of the scriptures and heard testimonies. You know, there's nothing physical out there that's not controlled by spiritual forces. You know, there's something that I say all the time. When people tell me that, you know, people do juju for money, you know? You know, they call juju for money. Even if you've not seen it, you've seen old movies, they're always showing that thing. So those days, they'll say that those men, they will arrest somebody. Then there's one that somebody told my wife, and then she believed it. And I want her to stop believing such things. That the person will now put a nylon bag on the fellow's head. The fellows will disappear, and then they'll be in a wardrobe somewhere. And anytime they call the fellow's name, money will be coming from his mouth. And then look at him and say, you believe that? They say it's true. I say, who saw it? Everybody always knows somebody who is sure that somebody that told the other person was telling the truth. I've never seen somebody who saw somebody who saw it. So there's somebody who saw somebody who told the person that saw it is telling the truth. So somebody told my wife that time. And I told my wife, I don't believe it. Hey, you never believe such things. I said, you know me, I believe spiritual things. But this one, I joke. Do they do juju for money? Yes, I believe. I know people do that. They do that. I mean, it's in the scripture. Should I prove it to you? Somebody offered Jesus the deal. Bow to me, I'll make you the richest man in the world. Is there? Satan came to Jesus, bow to me, I make you the richest man in the world. That's what he told him. So I know people do such things. But what I want to just bring out is the fact that nobody vomits money anywhere. Any money so vomited will be counterfeit. You wouldn't be able to spend it. They will arrest both you and the spirit that gave it to you. That is a matter of fact. But what happens, and this has blessings are also, forces, spiritual forces, start engineering, all right, the movement of funds in the person's direction, and that happens. I'm not talking on the negative side, let me talk on the positive side, all right? On the positive side, if God wants to bring resources in your direction, He also commands angels to go and bring it. All right? But they don't actually carry ShopRite bread to your house. They don't go to the farmers and cultivate yam. Food will just appear. Not spiritual, you know what I mean? Not supernaturally. And I know then I taught what I call the simplicity of divine intervention. An angel is bringing you resources, but it's your friend that will show up with it. An angel is bringing you resources, but it's business opportunities that will open. An angel, all right, or angels are bringing money to you. Spiritually, if you open your eyes, you see them carrying loads of cash. But physically, that one doesn't get to you. What will happen is that doors will just open. You will do what you used to do, all right, and earn maybe 1,000 naira. You will do the same thing now in a different place. You understand what I mean? The same effort, the same skill, the same result, but in a different setting, and you get paid 100 times what you were paid before. And if they were to open your eyes, you'll see the angel at that point drop his load. Those spiritual things play out in the realm of the physical. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? We're talking about it just to help us understand things. That's when you read in the Bible, you hear that one seal was broken. And I said, whoa, you know, somebody said, whoa, something like that in the Revelations. And then one angel showed up, and he was carrying, maybe it was called the angel of one Abaddon, one name like that. And he brought destruction upon the earth. When that thing will happen on the earth, men will not see the angel. They will just hear that the River Niger was overflowing its banks. What they will not know is that in the realm of the spirit, one angel went below and pushed the bottom of the river up. And that's it. Overflows everywhere. Sweeps people away. You hear that 100,000 people disappeared in a flood. When you see what is happening, you know, you see Syria. Anytime I watch Syria, bombardment and all of that, I said, this is judgment from heaven. I don't know what they did, though. I'm not saying kill them. I don't know what they did. But these things are not natural. They are not natural. When you just hear, hey, like the Rwanda and Burundi that time, by the time they finish killing themselves, and they ran to camps, there another angel of death, an evil spirit again, was released. It became cholera. And you got it in the scriptures that the one that escapes from the sword of this, the sword of that will kill. That's the way it goes. So cholera showed up. It killed almost as much as they killed by hand. What will not be reported in the news? That the ones that cholera spared, hunger killed them. That is called destruction determined. Let me put it the other way now. That's the positive side. So angels, that's the way they work. When they are bringing resources in your direction, you won't see them. Go. I'm an angel. Sent by God. My name is Monica. Touched by an angel. No, you're not likely to see that. I remember I read in Roland Barthes' story, angels and assignment. Angels showed up one day and they saw them looking very angry. Say, what happened? Say, we have come to do warfare for your finances. Now, don't forget that. So, angels are with you. They've been sent, all right? Are they not ministering spirits? Spirits sent forth to minister to those who will be heirs of salvation. But what's my emphasis? The law of what? Spiritual weaponry. What do they use? Once we were watching Touched by an Angel. That part will have been very funny and very silly. Except that they understood spiritual things. They said, you see them getting ready to go for what they call spiritual warfare in that particular episode. And the devil was there on the other side. And two angels and one man pretending to be an angel came along. It was quite comic at that part of it. And then they were talking, argument. They would say something, they would say another thing. So, you know, if you hear spiritual warfare, angels going to fight, all I've expected that. That's cartoon. All right? That's Power Rangers. Are you getting my point? I want a cartoon. I think what I saw in that Touched by an Angel that day is more like what real thing is. They use words. Those people, they're almost as if they're having an argument. Those angels will speak, that devil will reply, and they were just talking. Then one uttered a word, and the man there prayed a prayer, and one light from heaven came and dissolved the devil, and it disappeared. And they won the battle. For me, it made sense because I already understood spiritual things. Spiritual war is like that. Is what? Words. When we were young, then we used to watch drama of juju people fighting. And I know that they didn't used to do gush, gush. They didn't used to use fists. They would carry these small, small things they had like this, hold it, and begin to talk. They would talk. Then the talk will hit the other guy. Just talk. And that one will collapse. In trying to raise that one up, somebody will go there, talk to him again. And he will get up. And it's in the scriptures, it's words. The Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. It's in the Bible. So when angels are going to battle, that's something they explain. Don't go and buy a gun and lay it down. This one, my angels will take it, you know, because there are churches where they go to fight the devil. Today, we are going to kill the devil. Everybody cock your gun. Everybody go, crack, 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 crack. Shoot. Boom. This is not Syria. Amen? The truth is that the weapons they take to battle is what you say. We're talking about the laws of confessions. The weapon that they take to battle is what? The things that you say. And the Bible says they hearken unto the voice of his word. So, I'm explaining that something may be available, you don't use it. They are there. The angels, they are available. How do we get them to work for us? It's simple. We give them weapons. What do we give them? Weapons. I was talking with a senior man yesterday after he left my presence. I said, I just shook my head. Let me tell you something. After a particular age, every man is old. I don't know what that is. Look, as old as I am now, if a 70-year-old man comes, he has to demonstrate his wisdom to me. He shouldn't expect me to listen to him because he's 70. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Look, the aged are not always wise. That's what the Bible says. This man is over 70, and we're talking. He said, where Europe is, Nigeria cannot get there in 200 years. I said, sir, we'll get there in 15 years. He said, what do you mean? I said, after all, they are moving backwards. Eventually, we will jam. Even if just the fact that they are moving backwards, we are moving forward. He talk, go here, talk, go there. I talk my own too. He said, look, Nigeria, listen, nothing is happening. I said, oh, something's happening, sir. I said, sir, something's happening. Where they are in 200 years, we can't get there. I said, 200 years? One, even if they don't move, we'll catch them in 15 years. But now think about this, that they're even coming backwards. So we will jam at a particular point shortly. Now let me say something to you. I told you before that I don't like to argue with people anymore, you know, like expect them to see my reason. Like this one, I was talking with this man yesterday. I wasn't expecting him to, I mean, how can a 70-year-old man agree with you? It's unlikely. He said, Christian, Nigeria should stop going to church. They should take things in their hands. I said, sir, Europeans stop going to church. That's what their problem is. Because they have stopped going to church. Now, while are they? It was, I said, look, I'm not trying to persuade anybody, but I was just enjoying the exchange. You understand? This is a mistake people make. This is why I said I don't like to argue with people. If it's a young person, I won't argue. No, there's no point. And this is my reason. He will be trying to reason based on what he can see. Actually, that man was reasoning based on misinformation. Because anytime I would speak, he said, I used to live there. I said, sir, you've been saying I used to. This thing's a matter of used to. You're telling stories of 20, 30 years ago. I'm talking about stories of today. I said, sir, this is used to. This is history. As of today, what you are saying is not working. But let's even leave him. The point is that when they are speaking based on what they can see. When people talk, they talk based on what they can see. And when you talk also, you should talk based on what you can see. Except that you are seeing beyond what he's seeing. He's seeing only the realm of the physical. But you are seeing that, and on top of that, or above that, you are seeing that which is spiritual. And like I say all the time, there's what is called soothsaying like Philistines. If you make deductions based upon what you see outwardly, it's called soothsaying like Philistines. But when you make deductions based on what you are seeing spiritually, listen to this. Your deductions, they come to pass not because they make sense, but because you saw them and you are declaring them. That is, if you were to be removed out of the picture, the other man would be right. I don't know whether you heard me. No, you didn't hear what I said. Let me explain. Assuming we are two. This is the unbeliever, this is the believer. If you take me away, let him do the calculations in that same environment. Everything he's saying will come to pass. No good thing will happen. Bad thing will happen. Boko Haram is going to kill him one day. They will blow everything up. The whole place will be a mess. And he will show you the charts that prove that what he's saying is right. But bring me back into the picture because I'm a believer. I will hear what he has said. And I'll say, it will not happen like that. And he will say, no, it will happen like that. I said, listen, this is what will happen. This violence will come to an end. This is what will happen. Prosperity will come. This is what will happen. Godliness will reign. And I say things like that. I say things like that. I say, you don't, and I've heard people say to me before, you don't know what you're saying. I'm sorry for you. Except that he will be wrong and I will be right. Why? Because it is not the facts then that matters. It is the direction we are creating for tomorrow by what we are saying. That's why I said, when you bring me back into the picture, suddenly you bring another factor, which is called the salt of the earth. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. What does salt do in that context? They preserve the earth from decaying. So all the bad things he said will happen, they will end up not happening. Like people will say that 2015, people have printed all kinds of evil pictures about the country. All kinds of evil pictures. But we're not trying to paint pictures based upon what we are seeing. We just decide that, look, we don't want wahala, we don't want wahala, period. And wahala will not come simply because we don't want it. Not because it was trying not to come. I heard this story, I don't know how many of you have read it. I've heard different, about two versions now. Is it the spirit of Sudan? You've heard of the spirit of Sudan? But the one I think I have some better information is that of apartheid. Apartheid ended nicely, peacefully, no trouble. But as it was ending, the neighboring countries were having trouble. Somebody said that what happened was that the spirit of violence and destruction was coming. And people told you, don't come here. So he looked for where else to unleash the wrath. He went to Rwanda. So all the predictions of those who said this bad thing will happen, that one will happen, it did not come to pass because some people there said it will not happen. The law of what? Spiritual weaponry. Back to our angel talk. It's what we say that those is those things that we say that are the weapons that the angels carry to battle. If you say, I just know that I can never live long. You know, they will arrange one day you die suddenly. You're just going on the road. The woman would decide to drink, aim for where you are walking, and jam you and the pole that is there. And they'll say it's an accident. Are you getting the point? It's a spiritual arrangement. It's not an accident. But if every day you wake up, you go to bed, you go in, you go out, and your declaration all the time is, I will live, I will not die. And you are speaking out of the basis of righteousness. Now, when I talk about righteousness now, it's not that I'm just always doing everything right, but I put in that my effort to walk in the realm of the Spirit by obeying the Word of God. But I'm speaking based upon what I have discovered in the Word of God. Then that same accident will try to happen. If you kill the goat in front, and the owner of the goat will feel very bad, but he will not know that that was meant to kill me. Why? Because one angel is following around. The Bible says, hearkening to the voice of his word. And that's what they do. They hearken to the voice of what? His word. You know, I said, it's instructive to note that they didn't say they hearken unto the word of God. They said the voice of his word. So anytime they hear that word, whoever it is that is uttering the words, they hearken. The law of what? Spiritual. I didn't hear you. The law of what? We're talking about the laws of confession. So that is why we say the things we say. We're not, listen, you know, I said, your tongue was not given to you to comment. It was given to you to direct. The tongue is in the front of events, not behind it. What everybody does is commentary. In fact, I think I can say it like this. The tongue of most people is like the spectators in the football match. But the tongue of the believer is supposed to be that of Jose Mourinho, you know what I'm saying? You come to the pitch, he's not commenting on who won, who did not win. It's how you will play and you will win today. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even if match is going badly against him, he's not going to sit down there and say, guys, see me, I've been telling that guy, me stay for that side. See me, What kind of players do we have here these days? They don't listen anymore. This country, in fact, I don't understand what's wrong with the players. This is 2 goals down. This is 2 goals down. Me and Asimio, 2 goals down. What do we go do? 2 goals down. Eh? 35 minutes into the match, 2 goals down. Hey, I don't believe this. In fact, the NFA should be sacked. The president should be sacked because we lost a match. What is going on? In fact, the Nigerian army, the head of the Nigerian army should be sacked because we lost a match. Why did he not deploy soldiers to go and guard the premises so we don't lose a match? No, he doesn't do that. He just calls his guys, hey, you, move. He pulls one guy in, puts another guy in. You guys move this way. Calls them. This is how we're going to do. He determines what will happen next, not what has happened before. You have to make up your mind, which one are you? Are you the commentator, the commentary maker, the man watching at home, haven't paid DSTV some money? Or the man on the pitch telling the match, this is the direction you are going to go. Are you getting what I'm saying? So they say, all this probe, nothing will happen. You know what you will say? Something will happen. When thy judgments are upon the earth, O Lord, the inhabitants thereof, the lying righteousness. Therefore, we ask for your judgments in the midst of all of these probes in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the Jose Mourinho spirit. You know what I'm saying? The commentators, no. They will say, nothing happens. Nothing ever happens. And nothing ever happens. Don't forget, the more you say nothing ever happens, the more the spirit of nothing ever happens will pervade the atmosphere. I said, uninterrupted power supply is just around the corner. Amen. People have spoken, and they said it before. Eh? That time they didn't say it well. We are saying it again. Today I was in the office, my friends and I were discussing. So what is it that's manufactured in Nigeria? We now began to analyze. One of the things I said that, of course, you know, as at that now, there are things we manufacture very well in Nigeria. There are plenty. There are very plenty. There are very plenty. Let's even start from most of the native clothes we wear, you know. They are made and sewn locally, praise God. Those chairs you are sitting on, nobody's importing anyone into Nigeria. The best are made right here. You know that? Yes. There are any cable you see hanging around. So we're talking about it. Then I now remember that Michelin used to export tires from Nigeria to Europe. Dunlop Elite. I remember Dunlop Elite was one of the best tires you could get anywhere. Those tires will compete with Firestone and Bridgestone, and they will stand their grounds. True. I remember when Michelin's tires were certified by European Union as being of good quality, the ones made in Nigeria. I still remember very well. You know, they all closed down for one simple reason. Power. Some of them moved manufacturing to Ghana because of power. Commentators will say, hey, you see, we've been saying it. In another 50 years, there will be no more manufacturing in Nigeria. But here, what will happen in the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years? All those manufacturing will come back to Nigeria. Amen. Our rubber plantations, they will double in size. People, look, after a while, if you just look at your tire, I don't like the shape of it. You will come out and buy another one because we are making it just down the road. See, coal, we will, listen, our own Nigerian coal does not cause global warming. I hope you know that. In case you did not know, I've told you now. The coal that causes global warming is in America. A spiritual truth. So this is our own that we are sitting upon. We will use it to power this nation. Enugu, we have, that's Enugu environment. We have at least 2 coal fire stations. We'll be exporting power to everywhere. Listen, Nigeria will generate so much power, we'll sell to neighboring African countries, and they will discover it's cheaper to buy from us than to make their own. Amen. I'm not hearing your amen. We'll be looking for how to use it very shortly. The cost of your calls, they've come down recently, right? But wait, they are coming down further. Amen. Data price is still high now. But they are coming down further because one of the major things that consume, that look, all those calls you make, one of the major things you pay for is diesel. In a short while. Tell your neighbor, short. Short, short, short. In a short while, it will happen. Listen, you know, if you want to do business, start selling cable. Very soon. Cable to connect back to the main power grid. That will be the thing that will be selling seriously. Because now most base stations are not connected at all. Most of them are not. They put the thing there, put two generators there, and walk away. They use the GM for some time. After some time, they come, remove them, put two new ones. Because they have to swap. One is down, the other one has to be working, and they have some batteries and all of that. After a while, they will have only one generator. Because everywhere you have to have standby. Okay, because, you know, thunder can strike. Rain may fall. Rain is not evil, amen. So those things will still make allowances for them. All right? But after a while, you know, I've been saying those who repair generators were leaving and sell. You should go and start repairing motorbikes, motor cars, and start selling other things. Amen? I think they should go and learn how to sell cable because we need plenty of cable in a short while. He said, did you read the World Bank report? No. I create reports. Amen?
Amen.
I read the Heavenly Bank report. And this is a result of the discussion we have had with heaven. We are the salt of the earth. We are deciding and directing where things are going. I feel sorry for those who say, I can plan my life because it's Europe. You know, people are just selectively blind. They see what they want to see. Europeans are rioting that they can't plan their lives. Nigerians say that's the best place to plan their life. You know, it's very, very fun, isn't it? Let me give you another prophetic word. In a short while, I think within the next 2 years, there will be a ban on government officials going abroad for treatment. There will be. If you like, have the most serious cancer or the serious sickness that anybody can treat abroad. Once it's abroad, we won't let you go. We will forgive you if you import all the reagents and the equipment and the personnel to Abuja or Enugu or Abakaliki or Oka here. We don't mind. But you ain't going anywhere. We will not use our money. Just by the way, people know the shame. You know, some of us will misbehave. But that has come to an end.
Amen.
In a short while, it will be a decree. If you want to go, you're on your own. We won't stop you. No, be your life. It's not your money. But we're not paying. Because we consider it shameful. So, if government officials sneeze 3 times, he will go investigate within the nose. If you get malaria, he will go to America. I know we misbehave a lot. Ignorance is a bad thing. Most of the sicknesses, we can't treat it. One day my brother-in-law was sick. They admitted him for 1 week in New York. After a while, the boy said, it's enough, I'm going home. See, people don't understand. I say I have malaria. So people don't know what is called malaria. I had to DHL at a queen to him. The boy drank it in at home and got well. No, what I've told you is not the story. If I tell you the bill for that 1 week, you will run out of this chair. And they did not treat it. 1,500 naira per attempt. It didn't disappear. Anyway, that's not important gist right now. The important gist is that in a short while, if a government official, we ain't flying you anywhere. You know why? We are ashamed. We think we can do it, and we can. The Lord is good. The point I'm just making is that, look, you see, listen, it's when we start having that mentality, we'll solve a lot of problems. We will solve a lot of problems. Listen, in another short while, you know the way people are running to India now? They will run to Nigeria.
Amen.
They will run to Nigeria.
Amen.
I'm talking about the laws of confessions. These are not wishes. They are not deductions based on things that we can see. They are the directions that we are given for the country to follow. And angels hearken to the voice of his word. That's what they used to fight. That's what they used to remove politicians from office. Politicians won't leave office because they are angry with them. What's wrong with this man? No. It is because if the direction that the words are the body of Christ, the people of God, the direction that we have used our words to push the nation into, you understand, that direction. Anybody that stops the movement is the one that leaves. That's what I call the law of spiritual weaponry. And you must bear that in mind and always issue weapons for your angels. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's continue. So we'll take another law. Did you read any scripture just now? Okay, we read Ephesians chapter 6. Now let's talk about the law of personal control. That's another one. Very interesting. The law of personal control. We are talking about the laws of confessions. Quickly, let's go to the book of James this time. Law of personal control. that is controlling your life. That's what I mean. Controlling your destiny, controlling your body, controlling your future, controlling your behavior. It's not just about your destiny now, but your behavior. In fact, there's one saying which I've quoted here before. I don't know who said it originally, though it's not scripture, but it's in line with scripture. He said, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become a habit. Watch your habits, they form your character. And I say, watch your character, it determines your destiny. And that is a matter of fact. It's in line with scriptures. So when we're talking about destiny, therefore, speaking words, the law of personal control is not just to say things about your destiny. You will say things about your habits. You will say things about your actions. You will say things about your thoughts. And you will say things even about your words. It's an interesting cycle which you can generate, all right? Now, go to chapter 3, the book of James. He said, let not many of you, verse 1, become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment, at least those who are teaching. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bit into the horse's mouth, so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Remember, law of personal control. Now, verse 3. We put bits into the horse's mouth, and as a result, they obey us. We direct their entire body. Behold, sheep also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder or steering. All right? Wherever the inclination of the pilot or driver desires. I'm trying to make it real for our everyday lives. It says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. That is, there are great things that it has accomplished, great things that are ascribed to its actions. He said, behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very word of iniquity. The tongue is set amongst our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. Now, listen to this. Okay, if you read further down, I don't want, because of time, we talk about the fact that the tongue has been very difficult to tame. He said, with it we bless our Lord and Father, that's verse 9, and we also curse men. He said, these things should not be, that the same fountain should send forth both blessing and cursing. Now, what I want to bring out here, we talk about the law of personal control. Okay, please bear that in mind. But just don't forget what we read here before you move to another one. That's another scripture we're going to read in a moment. Bear this in mind, that he's saying that the tongue is like the steering. It controls the whole body. It controls the whole direction of the life. You understand what I'm saying? That is, the direction the life is going is controlled by the words. It's controlled by the tongue. The way the body behaves, he says, is controlled by the tongue. Please bear that in mind, and you can keep something there. Let's go over to another one, the book of Joshua chapter 1, one of the first scriptures I learned as a young believer. It was the Lord speaking to Joshua after he took over from Moses. Now, he says from verse 1, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to you, to the sons of Israel. He said in verse 3, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. And then in verse 5, he says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give these people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left, to the right, or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. That is, in your habits, in your actions, make sure that you are centered upon the law that Moses gave to you. And that way you will have success in whatever you do. Verse 18 now says, this book of the law shall not, that is, this book, this law, that you are supposed to obey. This is the first step to obedience. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Now, please notice something here. He said that if you are going to have success, it will be because you are careful to obey everything that is written inside the book. Success is not by praying. Amen? Amen. It's not by wishing. Amen? Amen? It's by obedience to the laws of God. Are you getting my point? You know, I talked before about what I call wisdom for salvation. Paul said, from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. That is success, that salvation there, it comes from wisdom. In fact, if you have a side note in that Joshua chapter 7, it says that, in verse 8, it says, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. The alternative rendering in my own Bible here is that, and you will act with wisdom, or you will act wisely. Are you getting my point? That is, you see, wisdom comes, is tied, success is tied to acting with wisdom. Are you getting me? Now, so the Bible says, therefore, God was speaking to Moses, that success is not because I wished for it, though it's good to wish and desire it. Success is not because I just prayed for it, though that's the first step, actually, to ask God who gives success for wisdom. He said, but real success begins to manifest in reality when we begin to walk according to certain orders. Are you getting my point? And that's the way it is. If you talk to people, listen to how they have run their businesses and all of that. In fact, you know, my wife and I were gisting a few days ago about some issues. That, look, this particular enterprise, this is why it has remained at this level. You hear the thoughts of those who were running it. They are running it this way, and that's why it has not gone beyond that level. You understand? So what God gives you is wisdom. Now, please bear that in mind. But so for Joshua now, the wisdom was centered on the word of God. The same thing with you, the same thing with me as believers in Christ Jesus. Our wisdom is centered on what? The word of God. And Joshua was being told here that if he wants to succeed in life, it will be because he's walking according to the wisdom of God, which is the word of God, which in his own case is were the laws that Moses gave to him. But that's not our main gist. Our main gist is on the laws of confessions. So I'm talking about the law of personal control. How was he going to control his body? How was he going to ensure that he obeyed the law in his actions? All right? Because as you obey that law, as you obey the word, as you comply with that wisdom, and this is the thing about it, those things don't come naturally. You know, I keep on saying it. God does not command you to do that which you have done naturally. Do you understand what I'm going to say? So if you say, husbands, love your wives, then you can be sure of one thing. Your wife is going to wake up one morning and decide that she's going to ensure that she's unlovable. You hear my point? Have you ever seen the Bible say, men, love the fine girls you see? He knows they will love the fine girls when they see it. It is natural. It is keep your eyes away. That's the one the Bible says. Is it not true? Am I lying? So when they say, husbands, love your wives, husbands, get ready. Praise the Lord. The only one guy here saying hallelujah. Very all the other guys, what is he talking about? Right now, I'm just in love. Praise God. And it's a husband's love. It's a commandment. Their wives, submit yourself unto your own husband. You know what it means? Bros is going to act foolishly twice, just to prove to you that you shouldn't follow him. Amen? That's the word of God. What comes naturally, God doesn't command about it. Anytime you hear a commandment, that's the opposite is what comes naturally. Thou shalt remember. That means the natural thing is what? Forget. So God had to give them laws on how to remember. What am I saying? The laws of God are those ones that don't come naturally, but which you must do. I'm saying you have to train yourself. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That is, the fear of God is not natural. You have to be taught. You have to be trained. You have to be restricted and given boundaries to follow it. So the commandments that Moses gave them, they were not going to do it naturally. The bodies wouldn't cooperate. If they say, appear before the presence of God three times a year, they'll be busy. They will have business meetings. They will have places to go. That's what will happen. But God gave them those commandments. And listen to this. The real thing that's the ultimate of obedience to God, how do I say it? It's difficult by yourself to do them. So what God does is to give you small things, which are also commandments, which are also instructions, but are easy to obey. So let's go back to it. So there are things in this law that Joshua wouldn't obey naturally. So God said, let me give you another smaller and easier commandment. This one is not producing success for you, but it helps you do the things that will produce success. He said, this book of the law shall not depart what? From your mouth. But you shall meditate. Let's define the word meditate again. The literal Hebrew, meditate. What he said literally is, you shall mutter in it day and night. Meditate in the Bible is not cross your leg. You know, ekanka. That's not Bible meditation. No. That's ekanka. That is yoga. When the Bible says, uses the word meditation here, thou shalt meditate, it means thou shalt what? Talk. Therein, day and night. Thou shalt not fill your head with all the commentaries on home movies and who's marrying who in Hollywood. And becomes the discussion of every day when you gather. Have you heard? Brad Pitt have now married Brad Gotta or whatever. Angelina Jolie has now done a new movie. Oh boy, you know what now? Now I'm meditating in Hollywood day and night. That's what you obey. Until that has made thy way corrupted. Do you get my point? The discussion, that's what he's talking about. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It shall be the center, the focus of your personal talk all the time. That's an easier one to obey than the details of the law. Now listen to this. We're talking about law of what? Personal control. The laws of confession. This is the law of personal control. This is what it does. You take care of the tongue, James said. Then every other thing follows. So when your wife has anointed you, just say, one day I'm going to slap you. If you say it like that, you know what's going to happen? One day, it's not as if, hey, I didn't know when I did it. No. Yes, you are right. You didn't know. But you said it like 6 years ago. And it is unto you according to your words. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Let me tell you how to handle this. God have mercy on you. It's God that will prevent me from killing you. Is that not good? That's not bad talk. That's good talk. Because Jesus is Lord of my life. Were it not for him? Oh God, Father, I thank you because you have prevented me from injuring somebody. It's good. Thou shalt meditate. That's a better way to get angry. Instead of saying, God will punish you. He said, no. May God have mercy on you. This is your wickedness. May God remove it from your heart. In the name of Jesus. You know, it's anger with prayer. Even that, there's no devil that can use it wrongly. Carry the words. What will you say? He said. He said, may God have mercy. May God prevent you from continuing wickedness. Is that not good? Whether I say it nicely or with vexation, prayer, not prayer. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. The law of personal control. This is how it works. We're talking about the laws of confessions. I just take control of the tongue. That's what James said. Then I set every other thing in line. I set every other thing in the correct direction. That's how I steer my body. I tell you what to like and what not to like. You know, listen, what God does for you is, that's why don't justify bad things. Don't make excuse for evil. You understand? So later on we'll talk about maybe on Saturday when I continue talking about the circumcision of Moses' son, all right? Because you see, one of the ways God tests you is not just what you do, it's what you say about what somebody else did. Because the Bible says that God punishes not only those who do them, but those who take pleasure in those who do them. God can wake up one day and say, he wasn't sleeping, but he will arise one day, and that's a good word, and say, let me judge this whole nation. For homosexuality, as an example, maybe it goes somewhere in Europe, all right? Not Nigeria, amen? And it begins to kill both the one who did it and the one who didn't do anything. And you know, I say, why are you killing that one? He said, come, let me play for you what he said. He said, no, me, I thank God because I'm a heterosexual. But I think there should be freedom in this country. And there is nothing wrong with homosexuality. It's the way you were born. Because, you see, there's no difference between him and the homosexual. They are the same thing. I'm serious. That's how God judges. I told you about one pastor somebody told me about. Young lady went to him for counseling. Now, assuming he's a Christian, assuming he married a believer, but he told the young woman that even if he's not a Christian, it does not matter as long as he's nice. God says he has married an unbeliever. Forget the fact that he's already married. The counsel from his mouth. In fact, James said it clearly. He's a teacher. He has instructed people to disobey God. Judgment. I'm talking something about controlling the tongue. It's not just what you do. It's the kind of comments you pass about what somebody else is doing. No, listen. One day I was with one preacher. Where somewhere said, look, he doesn't blame any pastor that eats church money in a particular denomination. That they are poorly paid. And one man who was there said, if they are poorly paid, they don't like the job, they should go now. He was not in that denomination. I went to preach somewhere. That was in Onitsha. So after the meeting, after the meeting. So I sat with a lot of ministers. He's a young minister running his own ministry. So it was a special program in the big church. So the vicar of the church was there. The person who invited me was there. I was there. And this minister was also there. They were just chatting, away. That doesn't blame anyone that's eating church money because the pay is poor. So the other one said, well, if they don't like it. Now, he's one of them. But he said, well, don't come here with that kind of confession. That's what I'm saying now. You don't say such things. You don't. If it's paining you, you can say things like, it's a lot of temptation. No? I think we should do something so that brethren don't fall for temptation. Is that not better? So I don't blame you if you want to work church money. You're not well paid. Work it. Your tongue is telling yourself, the only reason why I'm not working money is because I'm well paid. And this, my own ministry does not pay me well, I work the money. The day you will work money, it will have nothing to do. That is, you will not be able to control yourself. Because you have told your body long ago that the working of money is appropriate once the pay is not good. You see what I'm saying? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What it was telling Joshua is that you train your tongue. That's the easy part of it. Because it doesn't cost anything. You do it when you are free. You're not under pressure. You wake up in the morning and you are talking. You are just talking. You are training yourself in the word of God. That's what we're talking about. That is, you are training your body. Not by trying to exercise your body to do something. No. By making sure your mouth says what is right all the time. That one controls your body when the time comes to take action. The illustration I like to use is in the army. In the army, anytime you see a superior officer, you must jerk. So even if you are sitting down, you go into spasm. When I was serving that, I served in the Nigerian Army, my youth service, 3rd Mechanized Battalion. So one of my colleagues was saying that, am I planning to join the army? What do I think? Will I join the army when I finish youth service? I looked at him, I said, so I go into spasm every time I see a superior officer. That was the joke. I said, I'm not going to spasm every time I see a superior officer. I said, when I finish youth service, I'm going away. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. You know why you have to go into spasm every time you see a superior officer? Because one day the superior officer is going to give you an instruction under fire. Enemy is firing. And he says, move. If you are not used to jerking when he says move, when he appears in his presence, next time he says move under fire, you will say, okay. You know they hear the bullet. Sounds like they fly past. You say, move now. In America, with all their licentiousness, in any part of the world, no matter how liberal they are, that liberality stops at the door of the barracks. Once you enter into the barracks, others is others, like they say in Nigeria. Others is others. When you see a guy, it's yes, sir. We were still watching one film in my house the other day. You see, young officer will still tell the senior permission to speak, sir. If the man doesn't give the permission, you don't say anything. I was reading the reprints just now, like I told you. And it was a corporal. Okay, before he became a corporal in the army during the Second World War. He said one day a captain saw him and said, cook, how are you doing? He thought he was a cook. He didn't know he was in the medical. He trained him to serve in the medical side. He said, you don't argue with the officer. He called you a cook, you're a cook. They are not allowed to correct him. So he told him, yes, sir. It's going on fine, sir. So next day, they promoted him as corporal cook. Because the officer thought he was a cook. Next day, he was promoted. He became a corporal. So with all the looseness aside, when they enter into the military, everybody knows their behavior. When you see the boss, you still stiffen. Yes, sir. Mon, sir. Everything is still sir. When you walk into the office, maybe Sergeant Banky reporting as requested, sir, and you stand there. You don't remind the man, Sergeant is still waiting, sir. Now allow. Why? Because right now it's a small thing, just about greeting, when to talk, when not to talk. When the real training will manifest, at that time, it's RPGs that are firing. Boom! And the guy says, we are taking that fort. The first thing that comes to your mind is that they are shooting there. But your body can't even think that. It has been trained over time to say, yes, sir. And listen, this happens literally. You understand? I was reading a book by R.B. Thiem. He was talking about keeping the standard up. But there's one very famous flag being raised. So after they took a particular area, they described it. The man was giving names of soldiers who died before those ones raised the flag. Firing is going to ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. A soldier will fall like this. The next one reflexively takes his flag up and stands again. They cut him down. The next one, they don't think of running. Next one picks the flag and they are cutting them and they are not running. Because the body has been trained by simple things as, yes, sir, sir, sir. That one has trained the body. So right now, they are not reasoning anymore. The body has been trained to obey instructions by simple things like, stand attention, yes, sir, is, as you were. You know, simple things like that. That's how the tongue is. The tongue trains the body constantly. The law of personal control is what I'm talking about. The number one place you control yourself is by the things you say. It's conditioning your system. So he said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. I am not saying thou shalt memorize it. He said, no, thou shalt just talk about it. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying thou shalt try and see how you can obey it. No. Obedience is natural if the word is always on your mouth, on your tongue. If the word is always in your mouth, you will obey it. Obedience comes upon you. He said, the Spirit entered into me and set me into obedience. He said, stand that I may speak to you. When he said that the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. So it is what I am interacting with all the time. It's not like at the time you say, should I obey? Should I not obey? If you are still thinking it, you have disobeyed already. The body must have been conditioned long beforehand. And how do we condition it? James said, the mouth. We condition the mouth, we condition the whole body. That's what you just read from James. And how do we condition the mouth? The Lord said that to Joshua. It is by what you keep on the tongue all the time. So he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt talk about it day and night. Thou shalt meditate, means thou shalt mutter. When you are musing, when you are thinking, when you are discussing, that must be the thing that is in the center of your talk. Let's read this so we can close. I've already overshooting because I had a bit late. It's my favorite. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm reading from the Amplified. Let me first read from the New American Standard, which I've been reading. From verse 4, where I'm going is verse 6, actually. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words, notice verse 6, which I'm commanding you today, shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now let's read that from the Amplified. I'll go quickly to verse 6. Amplified. Okay, let me start from verse 5. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart, and with your entire being, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and hearts. Then, now notice, it shall be first in your own minds and heart. That is, you must have put them in there. Then you will put them in the heart and mind of your children. And this is how you will do it. And you shall whet, verse 7, and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate. How do you do that? You shall teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. This is the breakdown. You shall talk of them when you sit in the house. You shall talk of them when you walk by the way. And you shall talk of them when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets, that is, forehead bands between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and your gates. You see, I like this Amplified because it shows us the process of wetting, to wet, you know, to grind at the edge and sharpen. That's what it's talking about. You know, when maybe your knife is blunt, so you go and have it sharpened. You understand? They wet the edge. That's what it's talking about. Shall wet and sharpen them. And he said, that's make them pointed. How do you do it? By constantly. That's what the point I'm trying to talk about. He said, this is a process of making them penetrate into the hearts and minds of your children. You shall talk of them when you sit down in the house. You shall talk of them when you walk by the way. You shall talk of them when you lie down. You shall talk of them when you rise up. That is, you shall talk of them all the time. The law of personal control. How do you make the word enter into the heart so that it becomes a reflex to obey the word of God all the time? It's simple. It's by confessing the word continually. It's simple. Let me stop it there. Law of confession. We'll stop here. Personal control. It's not by trying. And listen, this is the advantage we have as believers. You see, sometimes people, we mix things up. I was in the radio station yesterday. We were discussing something. The guy was trying to explain something to me, one of the production people. That he said, motivational speaker. I said, hey, excuse me. I am not a motivational speaker. He said, Pastor, I know. I said, listen, I am not a motivational speaker. I did not sign up to broadcast on this station to motivate anybody. Yeah, he said, Pastor, I know. I said, good. So don't repeat that expression. I said, listen, there's a difference, a world of difference between a motivational speaker and a preacher of the word of God. The word of God can motivate. Amen? It does not make me a motivational speaker. Because there are times I condemn. It's not me. Nobody say I like to condemn people. I be like a person where they condemn. It's just the word. The word that motivates one person brings another one down. I was listening to Jeremiah chapter 1 today again in my Bible. And God was telling Jeremiah, see, this day I have commissioned you. We shall uproot and destroy and overthrow and break down. Then you shall build and plant. The same word. As he's uprooting somebody, he's planting somebody else. Look, listen. So for us, we're not trying to psych ourselves. We are affirming the things that the word has spoken. Don't forget our series, The Sayings of God. That's just it. I'm not trying to win. I'm declaring winning. I'm declaring victory because in Christ Jesus, I'm a winner. You are getting what I'm going to explain? And that's why I talk the way I talk. When I talk about the like Nobel Prizes have been announced right now, all right? The one for medicine and physiology was announced yesterday. Physics was announced this afternoon, at Nigerian time, late this morning. It's been announced, the one for physics. The people who showed how to observe some particles that are destroying them, you know. Someone will say, Nigeria, when are we going to get all these prizes now? I said, no worry, in a short while. After we don't begin get the one for literature, we can collect the one for peace. It's very simple. Just stop Boko Haram bombing. They give you the one for peace. Amen? That's what I told somebody. I said, but in a short while, they will say, you know, the one for fixes can never come to Africa. Why not? It was like that those days. The servant of servants they shall be. Noah said that you will never win the Nobel Prize for physics. Noah said it. But that was then. And this is what? Now. In Christ Jesus, we can win anything. We are not wishing it. It's just what is written. It's a judgment that has been written. All things have passed away. You're getting my point? And as we believe those things and begin to utter them, we are controlling our bodies. There are things that once you imbibe the word of God, you will never accept. A Nigerian who has imbibed the truth of God does not tell lies to collect visa, does not queue at an embassy gate from 3 a.m. Thank God it doesn't happen anymore because he thinks that salvation is somewhere. It's not pride, it's just understanding. There are things you will not be able to take. Go and listen to our series, the beginning of Laws of Moses, being a beautiful child. What am I saying? We are taking the word of God and putting them in our mouth. And when we do that, it controls our whole body. Listen, later on we'll talk about it. Our time has gone. It controls our character. Number one way to break a bad habit is to break the tongue habit. You say, hey, I'm always smoking. I don't know how I'm going to stop this smoking. They say it's a sin. I will die and go to hell. Don't worry. Smoking will not kill you and take you to hell. Amen? What is smoking? A bad habit. I will kill you physically, condemn you to premature grave. A liar will go to hell faster than a smoker. I hope you know that. I'd like to say this, like Christians wake up, when you see a Christian, jaguda fellow, when you see a smoker, that one is not a Christian. Me, I'm a Christian. Me, thief. I collect people's money, but I'm a Christian. But he smokes. He's an unbeliever. A smoker is better than a liar. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's scripture I'm giving you. Yeah, we should tell ourselves the truth. People who buy things they can't afford, who give impression of themselves, they are liars. Amen? Any man who borrows money to buy perfume to go and visit a woman is worse than a smoker. You don't have perfume, you don't have nearby force. He said, ah, give me that Gucci, I beg. Madam, please, I will pay you maybe small over the next 3 months. Why do you need it so badly? How can you be paying for it? He said, madam, I want to go and visit. The pastor said we should marry. I want to go and visit. You are not only smoking, you are smoking Indian hemp. If you behave like that, you're on wee-wee. Amen? Stop it. It's bad. Some things are, you know, Christians, we turn some things upside down. A man who does that will see a man smoking, say, I'm better than him. One brother one day said that he don't like to smoke because, no, he said that he doesn't drink because he just gave his life to Christ. So he's not established, you know, just a young believer. He was giving testimony. He said, you see, I don't drink. I know they drink. Because I believe, say, God not like, that was our fellowship on campus. Because I believe, say, God not like him. He said, because I didn't smoke weed because now grass like any other one we God create. He said, no, I'm serious though. That guy's name was Shola. I'm telling you, I was there, not story. I was in there like this. We're laughing. No, nah, the guy and all these bad campus boys, you know. Big guy like this, big, very light. You see his muscles, eh? He said, and are they hot people small? Are they hot people small? You know what that means? Okay, I was in Unimed, I know what he meant. No, the guy said, you know they drink, oh. You know they drink. Because they say, God not like him. But in the smoke, him, because now vegetable, that's what he said, now vegetable like any other one, where God creates. That is good. Anyway, whatever be the habit, number one place to break it is where? With the tongue. Satan said, listen, sin shall not have dominion over me. Because in Christ Jesus, I am above, I am not beneath. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Because the blood of Jesus has been shed, all things are passed away. I am not a smoker. I don't defile my body because I am a child of God. First, the guy is declaring it. Listen. Cigarette will see him and run. Cigarette will by itself disappear. Look, I've kept you for beyond the allotted time. Let's just stop abruptly here. We'll continue next time. Let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Just say to yourself in your own words, say, sin will not have any dominion over me. Sin will not have dominion over me. I am above alone, I am not beneath. The things of this earth cannot have dominion over me, because in Christ Jesus, I'm a victor, I am a winner. Just give the Lord thanks for today's message. Father, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Cheer up, brethren.